welcome back to the Tuned In Podcast. Andrew and Braden here, back with another episode.
Let's go,
baby.
What a time to be alive, man. Shoot. How's finals week treating you? We're just a couple college guys here.
Yeah. It's brutal, man. Always brutal. I'm like halfway through having to wake up super early, which means going to bed super early.
Yeah. BYU does this like super dumb thing where they like schedule exams at 7 a.m. I think you have more than I do, but I've heard of a lot of people this semester that are having to get up at the crack of dawn to go take a test.
I guess if it means I got to get up at 7 a.m. for my test, put in that work, I'll do it. I hope the Jazz players are getting up earlier than me.
Yeah, right.
Putting in that work. So I guess that means that I have to.
That's right.
But yeah. How are you getting ready for Christmas?
Oh, man. I'm so excited. We're almost done with our semester, and then we can just relax for Christmas. And we got a couple weeks before classes start again. So it's going to be good.
Fun. I went with some of the people in my apartment complex. We did some Christmas caroling.
Oh, let's go.
At like a elderly home. That was pretty fun.
Nice.
That's so we're definitely getting into that.
Yeah, those elderly homes are fun too. They really enjoy the type of stuff.
Oh yeah, they loved it.
Getting people. So if you're hearing this, go visit your grandma. She misses you in the nursing home. So, but we have an exciting episode today. Or we're going to try to make it exciting at least. Jazz played two games this week. We will talk about those, update you on our prediction tracker. And then we'll name a player of the week, and we'll talk about our upcoming games as per usual. And then we're going to update you on some G League stats. We got some players playing in the G League. We'll talk about some Jazz players who are now trade eligible, and we'll talk about that. And then we're going to talk about some general NBA news, rumor mill, NBA Cup update. Of course, we'll update you on our fantasy teams. We know that you're all dying to know. And then local sports, we'll talk about Utah Hockey Club and some big BYU basketball news in today's episode. Don't forget to check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, wherever you get your podcasts, check us out. You can also find us at Instagram, all of those at Tuned In Jazz. And this is episode 54 of Tuned In Jazz.
All right, so we had a two-game week, so the Jazz got like a little mini All-Star break.
Yes, sir.
Only two games because we didn't play for like 4 days.
Yeah.
I would love that if I were them.
Right.
But it did mean that we did have two losses.
Yes, we did.
As I heard somebody post on Reddit, the Jazz are performing a masterclass in tanking.
Yep.
Which is what we want. So two great losses for our tank. But yeah, man, we got destroyed by the Kings first off.
That was, wow.
Like, it was kind of a role reversal of the Trailblazers game right before where we won by 40.
Whooped them, yeah.
This time we lose by 40. And yeah. Not really anything crazy that I'd point out, like, in terms of bright spots. We just got destroyed. Our defense is definitely lacking.
Yeah, the crazy thing about this game, it wasn't even like our last Kings game where I think De'Aaron Fox had like 50 in our last one or 49 or something.
Yeah.
But this one was just like all around. Nobody really had a great game. Fox had over 20, and I think Kevin Herter like went over 20. But other than that, everybody else was just in double digits. Like, it was just a team game for them. And so, it's tough. Keontae had 25, though. I guess we're looking for a bright spot.
Yeah, it seems like their bench definitely killed us.
Yeah.
It's like if you look at the plus minuses, Isaiah Collier was negative 28 for the 16 minutes he was on the court. And same with Johnny Juzang. He was negative 37 for his 25 minutes.
Bryce Sensabaugh minus 30.
Yeah. So those minutes where those guys were like on the floor from the bench, like.
Yeah, it's rough.
The defense was not there and the offense was probably not there either.
Yeah.
And then, like, that makes sense because Kevin Herter, like, had 26 points in 22 minutes. He was insane.
Our only positive plus minus, the legend, Svi Mykhailiuk. although he didn't have any points or any stats except a rebound, really, so I'm not sure.
When he was in the game, he missed every shot, but somehow the Jazz, like, held on.
Yeah,
so
he gave us a point, so somehow.
Thanks.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that bench really struggled. Everybody, and then the starters as well, just maybe a little bit less, but it was just a hard night, especially like defensively, because like the Kings shot 62% from or sorry, 50% from 3-point. They made 22 3-pointers. We only made 15. So like the threes were dropping for them. The twos were dropping for them as well. And they also beat us in the rebounding battle by like 5. So I don't know. Some of the things that we could kind of think about. Then we did have 20 turnovers again to their 8.
Yeah, that'll do.
That's always, that always seems to be part of the reason we lose. We always have more turnovers.
Yeah, 12 extra possessions. So that's hard to hard to win a game when you give them 12 extra. I mean, just differential there. Pretty bad.
Yeah, but I think kind of similar story for the Suns game, you'd say. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely.
A little bit closer, but yeah. Devin Booker went off this game.
Yeah, KD and D-Book combined for 64.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I don't know. I think when KD's on the Suns, like, he's been injured a little bit here and there. But when he's playing, they are a championship contender.
Yeah.
Because he, like, just, I think if you look at their record, they're, like, significantly better when he's on the floor. They win way more games. So you saw that tonight. It's pretty hard to guard when him and Booker are out there because I don't know who you leave. So
yeah,
this was also Royce O'Neal and Grayson Allen's revenge games. they really took it to us.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, I mean, Royce O'Neal had 17 points and Grayson 8, so that's pretty solid. Royce O'Neal's like starting for them and like playing a pretty important role.
Yeah, it's not bad.
So missed that guy.
Yeah. I would say a couple more bright spots for this game in the Jazz. I don't know. Walker Kessler, 17 points, 7 for 11. John Collins had a really good game, 22 points. A couple blocks. So
Jordan Clarkson kind of turned back the clock. He had 23 off the bench.
Yeah.
Really efficiently as well.
Yeah. So even though it was a loss, I don't think this was a little bit better of a team effort than the other game. Johnny Juzang was plus 5. He had their highest plus minus.
Also, we made our threes. We shot 22 for 39 from 3. We made the same amount of threes as the Suns, but more efficiently. Shot 56%. Normally, we will win that game if we make 20 threes and make half of them, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, 15 turnovers again to their 7. So that's always like again.
Yeah.
Turnovers were a little bit hard. And then rebounding wise, it was actually pretty even. So
yeah,
honestly, those turnovers and just like the Suns also being on fire,
yeah,
kind of led to that loss. But there were two pretty sweet highlights.
Yeah,
Keontae blocked KD on a dunk.
Ooh,
that was pretty insane. That he could. I feel like anytime KD gets his shot blocked, it's like pretty amazing
because
he's so tall. And then John Collins had a pretty awesome like fast break dunk.
Yeah, that little windmill that he has.
Yeah,
it's so
like,
nice.
He might be in the dunk contest. Yeah. He has been before, actually. Maybe he could go back.
I could see it, yeah.
Yeah, he's really a pretty good dunker. Yeah, any other notes from those games?
I thought it was with the Suns game. This is kind of a little side note. I saw that Kevin Young took took all the BYU basketball guys there to the game last night. Kind of interestingly, though, I saw Yegor Demin had a AK-47 jersey on.
Oh, let's go.
Which is pretty hype, you know?
Russia, baby.
Probably the greatest Russian basketball player to ever play. Maybe that's ball. I can't think of anybody else.
Best we can think of.
Yeah. So that's kind of cool. Anyway, that's a little side note, but it's cool to see him hooking up our guys over here in Provo with some pros, you know? Pretty cool.
Love it, love it. And I mean, we've seen Jazz players at BYU games as well, so it seems kind of like a two-way thing.
Yeah, it's cool when our like sports communities are like supporting each other, you know? It's pretty awesome.
Well, awesome. And then I guess we're going into, I guess before we get into this week's games, we got to do our player of the week.
Yes, sir. Good luck.
Yeah, this is my week for it. I'll be honest, nobody really...
Nobody's jumping off the
blew
page.
Me away.
Yeah.
Like most of the other weeks, there's been a guy that's been... More obviously.
Pretty clear,
So this week it was kind of close, but I just gave it to John Collins.
Okay.
He's been the most consistent starter that we've had. A lot of people don't see him still as like a future piece, but he's just been him on the Jazz. Like he averages like 18 points a game and a few rebounds. He's shooting like he was shooting 50, 40, 90 through like the beginning of the season.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's see, right now, he's still shooting 50, 40, 90. He's actually shooting 54, 45, 90, which is really good. So yeah, shout out to John Collins, giving him his third player of the week.
Yeah.
So he's taking the lead. Triple crown over here. He has the most player of the week so far. Yeah. So shout out to him.
I think it's honestly just feel like it's a win-win for the Jazz. Like, him playing well, I mean, like, if he becomes a part of the Jazz future, then this is great that he's finding himself. Mm-hmm. If not, it also helps with trade value, and it's going to make it easier for us to find a spot. I think they probably would have traded him last year had he had any kind of value around the league with that contract, but I think he's proven that he's a little more worth that contract maybe this year than he was last year. So,
yeah, and I'll also add in players that have played more than 10 games, because like Patty Mills, Fu Mykhailiuk, Mike Potter, they haven't played as many games.
Yeah.
John Collins and Drew Eubanks have the best plus minus on the team.
Dang, okay.
So like last year, I don't know if you remember, John Collins always had the worst plus minus. Yeah, it did. I don't know what it was when he was on the floor with Kessler, when he was on the like center role, he just didn't help us win.
Yeah.
But now it's like a complete role reversal.
Work. Yeah.
Where whenever he's on the floor, we're a better team.
Yeah. Even with Kessler, he's looking much better. We thought maybe that was like a something that was just not going to work, but it's looking a lot better. So
yeah, and then somehow Drew Eubanks is like leading us to winning as well. So
I kind of feel like he's filling that like Kelly Olynyk role where he's like pretty much the same role in the offense, although he doesn't really shoot as much as Kelly Olynyk did, but kind of interesting.
So shout out to John Collins.
Yeah.
I guess getting into this next week, we also only have two games.
Yep.
So we're playing the Clippers on Monday, and this is the start of a 5-game road stretch.
Yeah,
so it's gonna be a hard stretch for just traveling around and
going LA to Detroit, like, is kind of crazy trip.
Yeah, definitely. You don't even get to go home in between that. Thanks Adam.
Right.
So who do you got for this Clippers game on Monday?
Oh man, well, I don't, this one's just kind of a gut one. The Clippers are playing really well, but I'm gonna say the Jazz get a win. I'm gonna say win by 6. It's gonna be kind of a close game. Jazz will pull away a little at the end to 6 at least.
Yeah. I'm going complete opposite.
Okay, fair enough.
Saying the Jazz lose by 20.
Oh,
blowout
loss.
Win by
okay.
the Clippers.
You're trying to come back. I see.
I think the James Harden show will happen. So
yeah, that's fair. He does know how to cook the Jazz pretty good. So
yeah,
especially at the Intuit Dome. Oh
yeah,
shit,
the Intuit Dome. We're gonna miss our free throws. Although last time we did pretty well.
That's true.
I think this is our second time going there. And also the Clippers in their last 10 games, they're 5-5. So they're just very average.
Yeah.
Their record is almost 500.
Dang.
So it's like kind of depends on the day, like whether you win or lose, they're like very in the middle of the pack.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a game that's winnable.
Yeah, definitely. And then on Thursday, we fly out to Detroit, play the Pistons, probably a team much more on our level. what are you feeling about this game?
Very winnable.
Yeah.
I think I like kind of going for, I don't like to be too risky with my picks, right?
Yeah.
So I think this is pretty conservative, saying that we'll win by 8.
Oh, okay.
And this Pistons team, yeah, they're better than last year, because last year they were the worst team ever, arguably, with that losing streak.
Yeah, that's pretty
bad.
But
this year they're kind of middle of the pack as well. They're kind of in that play-in range in the East, which is not as impressive, seeing as the East is not that great.
Not great.
So I think we can go to their place and give them a win for the Jazz. So the win by 8. What about you?
Well, I'm also going to stay pretty conservative. I'm going to say it's going to be a close game, like down to the wire. But I say the Jazz lose by 2 in the end, unfortunately. The Pistons have double our wins, so for 5-10. But
yeah, it's true.
But
still not that many.
Yeah, but I do think they have a little more confidence going in. They got some guys that are hooping right now, even if it's not great. So
right,
be a close game. Jazz down by 2.
Okay, and then also we want to get into this.
Yeah,
as we do have our rookies.
Oh man,
they've been going to the G League a lot. Yeah. Everybody's been going there. Kyle Filipowski, Cody Williams, Isaiah Collier made his debut this week.
Bryce Sensabaugh showed up the other day for one game. Yeah.
Oh yeah, so. Yeah, for those that haven't really tuned into G League games, which I would assume is most people, because they're not broadcast very well.
Nope.
They're kind of hidden.
Yeah.
So let's break down. So we had like 3 G League games this week.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I saw this on Reddit. Cody Williams has been really struggling.
It's so bad, dude.
He's shooting really bad. He's averaging like 14 points a game on like maybe 40% shooting or something like that. Just not great.
Yeah.
What's going on? What do you think?
Looking at like, so these are his stat lines, at least just shooting wise, the games this week. He had 6 points, 2 for 14 from the field, 9 points, 3 for 10 from the field, 2 points, 1 for 8 from the field. And this is all in like 25 plus minutes of play. Like, I just think that it makes me wonder, looking at those, like, if it's shot selection or, like, if he's just having a hard time reading NBA offense. It's kind of like we saw last year with Bryce Sensabaugh when he was kind of just, like, still learning how to play NBA basketball. But it's not great. It's it's a little concerning. I don't know. Do you think we need to sound the alarm bells yet, or is it just early?
I don't know. I keep saying, like, don't sound the alarm bells yet. Like, it's going to be okay. Don't worry. I don't know how much longer
I
can do it. I'm sounding the alarm bell right now.
A little bit. Yeah.
I think Cody Williams needs some work. And that, I think we just got to start where he's at.
Yeah.
And just work up from there. So, I mean, if he is struggling in the G League, that's kind of rough, but let's just start from there, try and help him get better there, and then hope that maybe he can come up and contribute. But I think maybe another point that could be in his favor, just for those that think maybe Cody's not that bad. In the G League, he's like the focal point of the offense.
Yeah.
Right? He's the player that every point, every shot kind of runs through.
Yeah.
He's not going to have that in the NBA.
No.
At least I don't really see him as like that number one option type guy.
No, definitely.
So I'm not really looking for him in the G League to be like the main scorer. I'm more looking for him to like be a good defender and just be more efficient. So like if I'm Cody Williams, I don't really necessarily need to take 20 shots a game.
Yeah.
I just need to make the ones that I get, because that's what you're going to get in the NBA as well.
That's true.
So I don't know. I feel like I'm wondering if he feels like since now he's in the G League, he has to completely shift his game.
Yeah.
And then it's out of his comfort zone.
Yeah.
So I don't know. That could be part of the reason he's shooting so bad, is because he's not playing the way he normally does.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's tough when you're just kind of thrown into that. Something I would at least like to start seeing is, like, I think a reason that I would want to sound the alarms is just that it's very consistently bad. You know, like,
7 games worth.
Yeah, like last year with Keontae, we kind of saw where it was like he would have a game of, you know, 25 plus points, and then he'd follow it up with like a, you know, a 2-for-12 game or something like. But that's like what you would expect from a rookie as development. But this is just like pretty consistently like bad so far, at least his debut. Yeah, I kind of look at his brother. I mean, it's kind of a lazy comparison to compare to his brother, but his brother's kind of that similar player that you talked about. Like, he's not a number one option on a team, but he is helping the Thunder win right now.
Mm-hmm.
Arguably their third best player.
He's probably going to be an all-star.
Yeah. And he does that by playing his role. He's not like out there carrying their whole offense, and he's a really good defender. So I think Cody Williams could turn into something, at least maybe even a smaller scale of that, but my hope is that he can, you know.
Yeah, my hope is that he just becomes a rotational player.
Yeah.
Like, if you could become even, like, what Rodney Hood was,
yeah,
like, that'd be all right.
Yeah, right.
Like, even Rodney Hood was decent.
Or even, like, a Royce O'Neal or something. Or like
But Royce O'Neal's probably more built.
Yeah.
He's kind of more skinny.
That's fair.
Yeah, like, just be the role player guy.
Yeah.
Right now, he's not even that, so we'll work on it. And I think if you're in the G League, just play your game.
Yeah.
Be the same player you'd be on the Jazz in the G League, and that would help a lot.
Absolutely. And it is pretty early. I guess we can't really, like, totally sell the bag yet. He could figure things out. It's only been 4 or 5 games there, so.
Yeah, and I guess if you compare it to his NBA stats, he's shooting 18% from 3 in the NBA.
Oh my god.
So it's like even worse. It's like kind of consistent.
Yeah.
And then he is shooting 60% from free throw in the NBA. Granted, only on 10 shots, so.
And that was our criticism earlier in the season, was that he just wasn't taking a lot of shots, wasn't very aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we can't really complain that now he's taking 15 shots or 14 shots.
I don't know, his G League numbers kind of matches NBA numbers, like in terms of percentages. Yeah. But
and now he has permission to go just get a bucket.
Yeah.
And kind of learn that. So
interesting.
Which we talked about earlier with Wemby, where they're just kind of making him shoot threes, and eventually he'll start figuring it out. Maybe he's not Wemby, but
I guess another thing. This is kind of not exactly with G League, but I'm looking at like the plus minus throughout the year. There's one player that has the worst plus minus on the Jazz by 60 more than any other player. So like the worst guy is 108, negative 180 plus minus. The after him 135.
Is it somehow Talon Horton Tucker? I'm just kidding.
Oh man, he's carrying over from last year.
Who would that be? Is it like?
It wouldn't be who you'd think.
Is it like Johnny Juzang or
it's,
somebody?
It's Keontae George.
Oh, really?
When Keontae George is on the court, he has the worst plus minus of any player.
Wow.
Kind of crazy. I know he's been struggling. It's gotten a little bit better.
Yeah.
But I think part of that is just we're a bad team, and he plays the most minutes.
Yeah.
So he's just kind of getting a terrible plus minus because he's just on the court most of the time.
Yeah.
And we're always bad.
Well, and so far this year, like Lowry was out for a good chunk of games this year. So Keontae's kind of had the brunt of like our whole offense or pretty much the whole team on him, I think, this year. So I do feel
bad. Just an interesting point. Yeah. Kind of puts us off course slightly. Yeah. But
some other Kyle Filipowski has played a couple games in Salt Lake, but he hasn't really played a lot of minutes, so it's kind of hard to look at his stats. But Isaiah Collier has played two games. And in those two games, he was 36 points, 5 assists. And the second game, he was 23-8.
He's a beast.
So, that's kind of exciting. I don't know. What are you feeling about his performance so far?
Complete opposite. He looks fire.
Yeah, he does.
He looks like an NBA player, which is what we want.
Yeah.
And, he's getting buckets. He's showing that he can pass like he did in college.
Yeah.
He's showing that he's a good defender. Well, like he's still averaging one steal and one block a game in the G League too.
Sheesh,
which is pretty good.
That's
so
nice.
I don't know. I mean, great. If Isaiah Collier ends up being our best rookie, or Kyle Filipowski, or Cody Williams, we just need like one or two
of them to hit.
Hit, right? We don't even need all three. So if he's gonna hit, that would be great. He looks really good.
Honestly, with all these draft picks we have, if we can just find us a Walker Kessler, Keontae George, or Isaiah Collier every year, I think we'll eventually build a pretty good roster. Yeah. You know, we don't need all of our picks to hit, just some of them. So it's good. I saw a clip of Isaiah Collier, like he like navigated through a pick. He kind of split the double team, and then just like went up and under at the rim. And I was like, oh my gosh, dude! Like it made me excited to see
kind of like some MJ stuff.
Yeah, a little bit of Kyrie like finish a little bit. Like it was kind of it just kind of excites me, maybe like a little bit of potential. Maybe he could become that in the NBA eventually. So pretty cool.
Okay, we also have the trade deadline coming up soon.
Yes.
As in like February or late January.
Yep.
It's always around there.
Yeah.
But some guys became trade eligible from the offseason.
Yeah, they become, I just looked it up, they become trade eligible tomorrow at noon. So Patty Mills, Fai Mikhailiuk, and Drew Eubanks, who all signed the same day, I guess, are now trade eligible with the 60-day rules, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know if that means anything, but I don't know. What do you think the odds that any of those guys get traded?
I mean, it could just be that they're like a salary filler to like make the money work if we're trading other players.
I could see it.
I don't really see us trading them on their own.
I don't see that a lot of like demand for those guys. It's possible, but
For instance, Markel Fultz is still a free agent.
Yeah.
I think if you're trying to compete, I'd rather just sign Markel Fultz than trade for Patty Mills.
Yeah, honestly.
Or Svi. And then Drew Eubanks is like a pretty decent backup center. So I could see like maybe if a team just wants a budget backup center, maybe they'll want to trade for Drew Eubanks.
Yeah, I could see it.
Especially if we really want to have John Collins play center, which we really haven't.
Seems like, yeah.
So I don't know. I think Drew Eubanks is probably the one out of the three I could see getting traded, but mostly they might just get filled in if the money needs to work.
Yeah, I could see it. I saw this. I had it saved, but now I, of course, can't find it. It's always how it works, right? Can't find it. But I saw this quote. It was talking about, I think they said it was like an anonymous GM around the league that said that the Jazz, the the Nets and the Wizards are the three clear-cut sellers in the NBA, and they're teams that are picking up the phone and ready to make a deal right now. Interesting. Which is kind of interesting. Makes me wonder, like, you know, because you don't just say stuff like that. It makes me wonder, like, who the Jazz are shopping around right now. Is it John Collins? Is it Jordan Clarkson? Colin Sexton, maybe? I don't know. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I guess who on the Jazz do you think has the most trade value right now that you would consider trading this deadline?
Yeah.
I think it's obviously John Collins.
Yeah.
Like, he's been our best player, honestly, three-time player of the week, right? He's been really good, 18 points a game, 50, 40, 90.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how that would translate to a lot of the other contending teams. Yeah. But, man, he's been so good. Like, his trade value is pretty high.
Yeah, I think so. I think the only thing holding back is his contract. But
right.
He does only have a couple years left. They could
next
buy him out
next year. The last year, yep.
I think Colin Sexton has some value. He's only making $5 million a year, which is
enough. I think it's more like 16 or 18.
Well, it's I think it's 20 through 4. I could be wrong. But either way,
he's not on a crazy deal. Not a crazy deal. It's definitely under 20 mil
contract. Yeah. And I think he could contribute on a good team. I think Jordan Clarkson's value is going down every year. If we're ever going to get rid of him, now would be the time. But I'm losing faith that that will ever happen, probably.
Yeah, I'm looking at like the standings for like maybe a team that wants to like try and get in contention. Maybe the Milwaukee Bucks could be a team that might want like a John Collins, Jordan Clarkson, Colin Sexton.
Yeah.
Kind of give him a little bit of spark.
I can see it.
I don't know what they would give us because they don't really have any young talent.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah.
Especially because we know their picks might not be as valuable as long as Giannis is there.
Yeah. The Lakers are chumps at the deadline every year.
Yeah, they're always trying to compete. So, like, but the only thing with the Lakers is they're not willing to trade any of their like good players, and they only have, like, a pick in, like, 2030.
Yeah.
But honestly, would you be down to trade one of those guys for that 2030 pick? Because LeBron will be gone by then, probably.
Yeah.
They could be bad.
I mean, that's tough, because that would be, like, 6 years. That would be, like, 7 or 8 years into a rebuild. I would, ugh.
And we already have a Lakers pick when we traded Mike Conley, so.
It's a good pick. Yeah, I don't know. That's a tough one. That's pretty far out. I also think another team is the Warriors, although we've been down that road before. They don't really want to give anybody up either. For some reason, I saw a Warriors fan on Twitter this morning talking about how he can't believe that the Warriors wanted Brady Pajemski that much not to get Larry Markkanen.
They literally had him. Yeah, that would have been exactly what they had wanted.
Yeah.
Even before the extension, too. They didn't even have to pay him.
Yeah, so they're clearly not willing to give up much. So I don't know. It's tough.
Maybe I would be down to trade with the Atlanta Hawks. Because they've been like on the up, right? They've been winning some games. They're doing well in the in-season tournament. They have a lot of good young players. Like, would you want to trade for DeAndre Hunter?
That's the guy I was thinking of.
He's averaging almost 20 a game. But the only thing is they don't want John Collins because they already know about him.
I don't know if Sexton or Clarkson.
Maybe Clarkson there. I don't know. Maybe our guys aren't as good of a fit, but I want some of the players on the Hawks.
Experience.
So maybe the Pacers, they're kind of on the down right now.
They could really use Svi Mykhailiuk. I think, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking.
They could really use Talen Horton-Tucker.
Yeah. We'll pair Johnny Juzang and Svi Mykhailiuk and give us Trae Young. I think that's only logical thing to happen here.
Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe some of those middle-of-the-pack teams could like be trying to really make a push.
I could see it. And so, I hope that the Jazz are just, I mean, we're already tanking, but like, I hope we just go for picks. We don't like sell too much or try to get a piece that like, we just, well, that's not really what we're interested in right now. Just picks, honestly.
Yeah.
But around the NBA, there's also like rumor mills kind of heating up a little. I heard Jimmy Butler. I even heard LeBron James' name a little. I don't think it has a lot of credibility, but I don't know. What have you been hearing?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of Jimmy Butler rumors.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw this, but Shams sent out like a notification that the Suns were interested.
Yeah.
And like the source was Jimmy Butler's agent. And then Jimmy Butler's agent like replied to the tweet and said, this is fake. Like, I never said that was true. And then Shams, like, I don't know, he just like doubled down on it, even though the guy said no. But anyways, there's a lot of teams interested in Jimmy Butler. Is the side note. Maybe the Suns, maybe not. I think the Rockets have shown some interest.
Yeah.
Maybe I've heard Warriors as well. And one of the Houston, maybe Dallas.
Yeah.
I don't know if Dallas has real pieces to trade.
No.
They just trade Klay Thompson after they just signed him.
Yeah, that would be wild.
I don't know. I think the most likely place for him to go would probably be the Rockets, but it's just if the Rockets actually want to trade their young guys or not.
I think the Rockets are starting pretty hot, or at least better than they have.
They look great. They're still in the in-season tournament.
Yeah.
So
you'd probably have to give up like a Jabari Smith or a
Jalen Green.
Jalen Green. I don't know if you'd want to do that, really. That would kind of blow up any progress you made on your rebuild.
I mean, they do have Amen Thompson. That's a guard. They got Reed Shepard. That's a guard.
True.
They got...
That's true.
I'm forgetting his name. G League star guy. Yeah. But anyways, they got a lot of guards already. I mean, honestly... I feel like Reed Shepard fits better with the team than Jalen Green in some instances.
That's true, yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, they just got to give up some of them. They don't have to give up every single one of their guys. So
yeah, that's true. Yeah, so that'd be kind of interesting. I did see there was already a trade last night. Thomas Bryant went to Indiana from Miami. They already made a trade, I believe.
Yeah. I was talking about Cam Whitmore, by the way.
Cam Whitmore, I can think of.
He's up there.
I don't know. I haven't really heard too many other credible rumors yet, but
yeah, it seems like things will kind of start getting heated up like once all the players get eligible again.
Yeah, absolutely. But in the next couple months. Yeah.
I don't know. The last couple of trade deadlines have kind of been less exciting.
Yeah, they
have. So maybe let's get a Jimmy Butler trade because it's been a couple of years since we've had something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. NBA Cup is heating up.
Sure
is. We're now in the semifinals. I think plays tonight, right? Or no, maybe not. This week somewhere.
Well, I take back my pick from last time. I thought the Magic were a sleeper, but
yeah, Franz Wagner
got injured like right after we finished recording.
Yeah,
so
that was bad.
No, I take that back.
It's not a bad pick with Franz Wagner healthy, but
right.
Yeah.
They still almost won. They only lost by 5 to
that's
the Bucks.
True.
So
that's true, yeah. They got a lot
but
pieces.
Your pick, the Hawks.
Yeah.
They look great.
Hawks always show up.
Did you like actually think they were going to win, or were you just kind of going with your gut?
It was kind of a gut feeling, but I also feel like in-season tournaments, the type of thing where like teams like the Hawks would care about it. Like when, I don't know, like big teams don't actually care about the NBA Cup, but the Hawks, like this is
I think Trae Young is built for like a one game elimination tournament too. Because he can get hot.
Dude, I will say though, I'm not like the hugest Trae Young fan. I'm not a hater, but the whole Trae Young versus the Knicks thing is like
it's
NBA
cool.
Needs it, dude. Like they where he's like did you see where he's throwing the dice on the logo and
going to Vegas?
And he's like in an interview last year where he's like hyping the crowd up after they're like booing him. Like, dude, let's freaking go. We need this in the NBA right now. That's pretty hype.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah.
And then so speaking of that, so the Bucks are gonna play the Hawks tonight.
Yep.
On TNT, and also the Thunder are going to play the Rockets tonight.
Yeah.
On ABC.
Yeah.
So we both picked the Thunder to make it through, be the champions.
Yeah.
All signs point to that happening.
Yeah. But if you were going to update your Eastern Conference pick, would you still?
Oh, I think I'd go with the Bucks.
Okay.
Just,
fair enough.
Yeah,
I think
not
it's
risking
biased
it too
pick.
Much.
I'm just,
I know,
I'm just joking.
It could be a little biased because I love
joking.
Them. But
you do like the Bucks.
Yeah, I'm excited for tonight. This should be some really fun games. And then tournament or the championships next Tuesday, that'll be really good too.
Yeah. I think the Bucks are a better matchup for Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
The thing with the Hawks and the Thunder, that's cool. Both of these teams have a lot of like long armed defenders,
right? Yeah.
And so like OKC leads the league in deflections and is one of the best defenses because they just get in passing lanes and they swipe at the ball pretty well.
Yeah,
same with the Hawks. Like they have Dyson Daniels, who's averaging the most deflections of all time so far. And like there's Zachary Richeshar, his arms are super long. Jalen Johnson, he's a beast, his arms are long. Like they're all pretty good defensive teams. Hawks surprisingly so, because they haven't been good defensively in a while. But I think they could match up against the Thunder as well. Just the way that they're currently playing. That being said, they might not. keep this up, but hopefully they do.
Yeah, so it should be exciting. NBA Cup's kind of cool. I'm glad we... I was a little skeptical of it at first. I still don't know if I'm, like, a big NBA Cup guy. It doesn't, like, move the needle for me that much, but I do think it's cool.
It just... It's fun.
It is fun, yeah.
It's not, like, my life.
Yeah.
when it's happening, yeah. but it's kind of, like, fun to see.
It gives us new courts and new jerseys to look at.
Important games or, like, slightly more important games.
Yeah, this is, like, something I wish... Like, the Jazz took more seriously. I mean, I not to say we're not trying, but, like, these are the type of things that give, like, young teams experience in, like, big games.
Yeah, so I mean, if this happened, like, 2 or 3 years ago, I think we could have won it.
Absolutely.
Like, it was the year with Donovan and Gobert at their peak, I think we would have won an NBA Cup.
Yeah, the number one year, yeah.
So, if this keeps going, I hope at least if we don't get a championship, we can get a cup.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
But ooh, jinx. How's your fantasy team doing? My mind.
We're doing pretty good. We're on a 2-game win streak. About to win again. I mean, I don't want to jinx it. I'll knock on wood real quick. But, yeah, we're doing pretty good. I'm kind of at the point. A bunch of guys are coming off injuries, but I've picked up some guys that I really like off free agency. So now I'm trying to, like, have some dilemmas on who I drop. And But team's doing pretty good. The league's pretty close. I think our first guy is higher. Has a pretty good lead, and the last guy has a pretty good...
Yeah, it's like a 7-game behind difference, and then like 2 through 7 are all tied.
Within a couple games,
I mean, Giannis is still carrying my team.
Is he? Nice.
Yeah, he's been in the NBA Cup, too, where like everybody else's teams has nobody in the Cup, so that's been helping me out. And then, the rest of the team's doing pretty solid.
Giannis is the type of guy that will, like... He's not one to, like, sit out, too, which is nice for fantasy.
Yeah, like, honestly, I check the lineup every day, or at least every couple days.
Yeah.
Giannis is always day-to-day with injuries, but I know he's going to play.
He'll play. He loves basketball so much.
I'm not worried about it, even though day-to-day.
Yeah.
Which is fun.
Absolutely. Well, Utah Hockey Club, 13-11-5. We've won, I think we've won 3 in a row, and we tied one as well, so we got a point for that.
Let's go.
We're on the winning side now, which is pretty awesome. I think we're still hovering around that wild card spot for the playoffs. But it's kind of exciting. I saw we played the Avalanche the other day. Dylan Gunther had 2 goals and an assist on a goal, which is pretty awesome. He's turning into our guy, I think. So kind of exciting.
He's a beast. We're 3 points behind the Avalanche, and the Avalanche are in the wild card spot right now.
Okay.
Nice. So we're so close.
Yeah, we are.
And the Canucks, they're 4 points ahead of us in the higher wild card. So
nice.
Yeah, like, we win a couple more games, we might be in there.
Another week like we had this last week, and we're in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So absolutely.
Good stuff by them.
Yeah.
Hopefully get to go to another game this season. I think that's such a good environment.
That'd be hype. Yeah. That'd be so hype.
And then BYU basketball.
Oh man!
If
let's
you're a
go.
BYU basketball fan, this is probably the best week of your life.
Yep.
Well, maybe that's a little bit of overreaction. But AJ DeBonsa, the number one recruit in the nation, commits to BYU on live television.
Yep.
Kind of was, I don't think it's exactly the same, but it was kind of reminiscent for me of LeBron James' decision.
Yeah.
But it's for him bit. To BYU. But do you think this makes BYU a real championship contender next year?
I think so. It's hard to, like, if you look at BYU's recruiting class, they got Xavion Stanton. I think I said it right. I apologize if I said it wrong. He's a 4-star. He's like the 22nd ranked, 4th ranked center in the country. And then I think we got another 3 or 4-star, which makes us like a top 15 recruiting class next year. And AJ DeBonsa is going to be one and done, but he'll probably make $7 million is the projection, which I looked and is actually higher than... 6 of the Jazz players will make next year. So kind of interesting.
That's crazy. That's probably just the market for him. I bet other schools are doing the same offers. Yeah.
So that makes it the highest NIL deal ever signed by a... If that's true, if the $7 million is the right number, that's the highest deal that any college athlete has ever signed.
My goodness.
It's pretty wild.
Well, and you did see Ryan Smith said he wasn't part of it.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
So it's not coming from Ryan Smith. That makes me feel a little better.
Yeah. I saw some people were talking about, like, you know, Danny Ainge is really involved with BYU basketball, too. Ryan Smith's definitely involved, even if it's not with this. People were talking about how if it's ethical, if the NBA needs to step in. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think it's a problem at all? Like,
I don't know. I'm not knowledgeable enough to know like if any other NBA GMs are
that's what I was thinking.
Like also involved in a college. I'm sure like they all went to college. Not all of them, but like a good amount.
Yeah.
I've not heard anybody else talk about this for any other NBA team. So I don't know. I think it's fine. And of course, like if Ryan Smith wasn't paying it and he said he wasn't, I think it's fine.
I believe it. Yeah. Right?
So yeah. I'm sure that could be a little bit of BYU bias because
people are just not sure.
My Utah sports, but I don't know. I think the Jazz also might not be in the number one pick range next year at all.
I hope not.
We don't really know where we'll be next year.
Yeah. That's kind of my thought. I have a hard time believing that Ryan Smith is the only owner that's making donations to his alma mater. Like, I just have a hard time believing that, like, these other guys aren't at least donating some money, even if it's not for this. Like, we know Ryan Smith, it's likely that he paid Kevin Young's salary, or part of it at least. And I don't know. It's not like we're guaranteed the number one pick, even if we are projected for it next year. So I don't know. That would be a risky investment if Ryan Smith was thinking like, I know he didn't do it, but if he was thinking like, I'm going to pay him so that he'll come to play for the Jazz, that's such a risky investment with your money. I don't think that would be smart for him.
And so. I think the lottery is very fair. At least I know there's like those conspiracies about like the Patrick Ewing draft where they like bent the envelope,
bent the card,
which I mean, that could be true, right? Yeah. There's some conspiracies about it, but the NBA lottery is pretty fair. Like, for instance, the Hawks got the number one pick last year. They were way at the bottom of the lottery. Yeah. So it's like...
There's no guarantees.
There's no way that, like, doing that, having AJ come to BYU so that he can then go to the Jazz could, like, really be a realistic plan because it's all chance.
It is,
And we don't even know if we'll be at the bottom of the lottery next year. So.
Yeah, absolutely. So kind of interesting. Well, I'm excited. I'm just so excited. I saw, like... He was at the game the other day. I didn't get to go. Finals has kind of been taking a lot of my time, but I saw he was at the game.
He was mic'd up.
He was like getting hyped with The Rock, and dude, he seems like a cool guy. I hope I get to see him. I guess I won't be on campus next year, but hopefully we'll see him.
I think very low chance Yegor will stay next year, I'm assuming. But if he ends up playing, if it ever happened where him and AJ were on the same team, oh, we'd be unstoppable.
Yeah, we could. I mean... Kenan Ketching so far is not really making a case to be a first-round pick, I don't think, or at least a late first-round pick.
Yeah.
So he could stay another year, maybe, hopefully. I don't know.
Elijah Crawford's probably going to stay.
Yeah, that's true.
He's decent.
We'll have a lot of good guys next year. We'll build around him. It'll be kind of cool. I'm excited.
Well, thank you for listening to this episode of the Tuned In Jazz podcast. It's been a good one. We're enjoying the tank. We're embracing the tank. And it's been good, and we're getting excited for the upcoming games, the NBA Cup heating up, and we'll see you next week with those things. Make sure to listen to us on Apple, Spotify, or YouTube podcasts, wherever you find it. Leave us a 5-star, share with a friend, and we hope you have a great Christmas.
Peace.
Take care.